Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, I'm going to consider what happens when our neat, tidy opinion meets the reality of the situation. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. And today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to kind of build on some of the things I've shared in the last few episodes and really the heart behind that. But I'm going to consider this thought-provoking idea of what happens when our neat, tidy opinions on situations, specifically when it comes to politics, but it can be anything, comes head-to-head, face-to-face with the reality of people going through these situations. I saw an Instagram post, a reel this week by Joby Martin, and he is a pastor, pretty well known in the conservative movement. He is a traditional biblical values. He's a guy that kind of speaks boldly, speaks to these things, and he's not afraid to mix things up. But what I really loved about his Instagram reel this week was it was a roundtable discussion, and it was centering around some of the hot button topics right now, specifically immigration, deportation, ICE, and all these things. And he makes some interesting comments that I think just kind of frame this whole debate. And I'm going to play this in just a second. And then I'm going to also comment on a situation that I know firsthand of what happened, of where a neat and tidy opinion, a political immigration opinion, comes face to face with believers in Jesus who have individuals in their life that are dealing with this in a very real way. And so I'm going to play that video by Joby Martin. I'm going to come back and comment about the situation. Then I'm going to share a few things that are kind of on my heart. So I'm going to go ahead and play that clip for you right now. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to include the video link there as well. And I'll put a link to this into the description below. So here we go.
You are from a situation, the simpler the solution seems. Mm-hmm. And the closer you get to it, you get to real names, you know?
They're humans.
Correct.
These are human beings.
Same thing with everybody. Everybody's fighting about ICE and all that stuff right now. From the comfort of your living room, boy, it's easy to pick a side. Mm-hmm. As I'm praying with a girl tonight from South Africa who's married to a guy in the Navy, and he's deployed somewhere, and she's here, and she's trying to get her immigration stuff together so that she can go on a mission trip with us to Costa Rica. And it's a mess, dude. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, your battle lines have a face and a name, and they're 1122ers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so just be real careful with all of your neat opinions from the comfort of your couch, because mm-hmm. you don't know a soul. You don't have to pray with these families. It doesn't impact you at all. Mm. But you can have an opinion of something happened in Minneapolis, you know?
Yeah, and there's people there, and there's a lot of people who need Jesus.
A lot of people, yeah.
And if that's not our first priority, is to get people the gospel.
Amen.
And everything else is secondary to that. It may be important, but it's secondary to that.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Wow. Right? So just putting a synopsis on this, he's basically, we're entering into mid-conversation, and I'd encourage you to look up the full conversation. But this clip right here is really impactful to me because it kind of hammers home some things that I've been thinking about in the last month or so. The basic idea is that it's easy to have an opinion about a situation you're very far removed from, right? The old adage of there's no skin in the game. you don't have any skin in the game. You just have, well, this is a clear black and white issue. This is good. This is bad. This is what we should do. Well, what Joby was saying there and what something I'm going to share is that sometimes it's not that your opinion necessarily changes. It just that when you are in the midst of this and you're in the trenches, and this so often happens in ministry, but in life in general, right? When you have somebody you know directly that you're praying with, that is wrestling with, is dealing with the repercussions of the decisions that are made. Again, it's not that I'm saying decisions about immigration are good or bad. I'm just saying that once they happen, they have repercussions, and sometimes there's unintended consequences. Let me share a personal story. Now, this isn't firsthand. This is what you would call secondhand, but my primary source is one I trust dearly. My brother and sister-in-law are live down in Charlotte, north of Charlotte, and so they're experiencing some of these things with immigration and ICE and things much more intimately than I am. They have this kind of the background is quickly. The story goes is that they have a nanny that works with their kids and helps them out with their kids during the week. And she is an immigrant. She's here legally. She has followed the procedure. She has a green card. She has all these legal documents to say it's okay for her to be here. It's okay to work. Consequently, I think she even pays taxes as just a side note. And her boyfriend is also the same here, and he's been working for FedEx, I believe it is, down there delivering a truck for a while. I don't know the exact time, so I don't want to say it longer than it is, but I believe it's been months, if not over a year. But anyways, he's gone through all the proper channels. He's got his green card. He's here, got that permanent visa, if you will. He's allowed to work. He's gone through the process with FedEx and got all these documents in place that show that he's legally here. He's legally working. Well, something happened, and there was some kind of raid. ICE was suspecting that there were some people that were here illegally. They had warrants for them. They committed some crimes, I think is how the story goes. And so anyways, they go to do this. But in the midst of this, I'm not exactly sure what happened. But what happened essentially was that he got detained, aka arrested by ICE, for no other reason other than he looked like the people that they were looking for. And so I got to thinking when I first heard this, I was like, there's no way this is right. This couldn't happen in America. Like, right? The longer I dove into this, the more I realized after talking to my brother several times that this was exactly what happened. And the short story is that he was detained. And if you don't know anything about the process, which is interesting, is when they're detained, they don't have any of the same legal rights that we do as citizens, where we're promised, you know, a speedy trial, we're promised a trial by our peers, we're promised we have a right to remain silent, we have a right to an attorney, we have all these things that we're given as part of being an American citizen, which I think is how it should be. But these individuals don't have that. And at first you think, well, they're not citizens, so they shouldn't. But what we see is, if you read deeply, is that there's oftentimes an instant fine that's charged, kind of like a booking fine, if you will. And that can be somewhat arbitrary, depending on the situation. And they also have not promised any form of communication. And so the long and short of it is, my brother, along with several others, were able to help them get all the documentation that proved that he's here legally, got that to the authorities, had to pay the fine. I don't know who paid that, but somebody did. I think it was $2,500. And that fine had to be paid before anything could be addressed. And so if he did not have these American citizens and a company that he worked with that was willing to go the extra mile to take care of this, he could possibly have never been let go. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but that's the kind of thing that's happening. And so I think what I'm learning from this and what I'm seeing from this is a couple of things. And I love how Joby Martin's clip brought it all back together. At the end, and the person he was talking with basically said that we're here to love people. And when you get closer to and you have a face and a soul to put with the issues that people are dealing with and the repercussions of decisions by our government, you start to see that this is a much stickier, deeper situation, more complicated than it first seems. You know, at the first glance, you're like, oh, well, they're here illegally. They should be deported. And you start to realize is that there's people that are here legally, that are doing all the right things, and they're still seeing the repercussions of this. And the long story of short is made short is this. I love how Joby Martin and his crew took it back to this point. The number one thing is that we are here to give people Jesus. And so I wanted to read a verse from you that kind of brings it all back together. So in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, "So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it as for the glory of God." And a couple of things I wrote down about this is that we want to keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes we get sucked into this us versus them mentality that people want to pull people into. They want to pull Christians in and say, see, you don't really love people. And I think that we are so quick from our 30,000-foot view to make rush judgments and statements that sometimes we miss the people that are in the midst of what's going on. And so if we could all agree as followers of Jesus, which I hope everyone listening can, if as followers of Jesus, we are to love God and love people. And I know that's oversimplifying it, but sometimes we make it more difficult. We are to keep the top priority, keep the main thing the main thing. You know, I remember my dad saying that so many times when I was younger. He said, just focus on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. And so if the main thing is to love God with all that we are and to serve Him and to love people, what does that mean for us in a straightforward action step sort of way? What it means is in situations like this that I've talked about is we need to do our own research. We need to dig in and see what are both sides of the story here? What's really going on? And really, instead of getting lost in a 30,000-foot view of what, you know, that's the government's job to kind of get lost in that, we need to get lost in the, you know, 10-foot view, the 5-foot view, where we are so close to the situation that we see people for who they are, people that are broken, people that are lost, far from God perhaps, or even maybe not far from God, but just really struggling, and they're in need of Jesus. And so as we think about what should be the main thing and the main response as individuals following Jesus, it's to love God, love people, to take the gospel. There's a reason why Matthew 28, Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, therefore go and make disciples, teaching them to obey me and follow me. And he said, what? I will be with you to the very end of the age. And so as we love God, we love people. And hear me clearly here. I'm not saying we turn a blind eye to either sin or law breaking, which is most of the time sin as well. I'm saying that we need to be cognizant of that and we need to understand that. But rather than rush to judgment, we need to start with this idea that these are people that we come in contact with every single day that are made in the image of God and that may be far from Him. And as followers of Jesus, yes, we should be concerned about laws and government because, you know, I always say government's important because policy is important and policy is important because people are important. But if we lose track of the people being important, we've lost track of why policy and why government even exists. But we should be focused on this. Let me end with this. We should be focused on the gospel. We should be focused on telling people and being Jesus. Telling people about Jesus and being Jesus to people we come in contact with every day. Now, for some of that, that might be a quick walk by. It might be a smile. It might be holding a door. It might be telling them good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day it is. It might even be doing some random act of kindness. But it also may be engaging with them and sharing Jesus with them. It may be coming alongside of them when they're going through a really challenging issue and not worrying so much about, you know, what is the public policy statement saying, but rather than what are they needing as people? How can we engage with them? We need to give them the gospel. We need to be Jesus to them. And then we need to do something really important. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to do the work of heart change. I think so many times we bring our political argument style, which is trying to find a right or wrong to determine a candidate, we kind of bring that same mindset into our relationship with people. Sometimes we're so concerned about what's right and what's wrong, and oh, that's a sin, or this is a sin, or what are you doing to fix this or this and that? And again, it's not that those things aren't important, but in these situations like the one that's in the clip at the beginning or the story that I shared with you, what's really important is loving people and being Jesus to them. You know, I asked my brother, what would be his recommendation? You know, how can I as a pastor, someone with a voice, how can I respond in times like this? What can be my response? And this is kind of what he said to me. He just said, it's wild that it's happening so close to home, right? He goes on to say he was with the woman, the girl, when she found out about her boyfriend. What he said here is, I think we need to keep doing the right thing and loving like Jesus. Pay attention to how things unfold, and then place our faith and our trust in God. We realize that God is in control, and He's the one that is responsible for everything, and we are given the task, as 1 Corinthians 5 tells us, to be God's messengers, to be God's spokesperson, to bring His message, the gospel of reconciliation, making right with God to this earth, and where to trust Him to handle. So I don't know if this strikes you anywhere, makes you think about anything, but what I want to leave you with is this, is that sometimes our neat, tidy opinions from a 30,000-foot view become a little more challenging when we get closer. And so I would encourage you to do a couple of things. I would encourage you, one, to pray. Ask God to open your heart. Ask God to make you sensitive to what's going on around you. Ask Him to give you people or people groups or things that you can be doing to be seeking and on the lookout for serving Him. Be strong in sharing the gospel. Practice this. Know what you would say if someone says, well, wow, who is this Jesus? How has He changed you? Be ready to just love people where they're at and keep the main thing the main thing. We exist to bring God glory and to serve Him. And let us always remember, when Jesus asked, what's the most important thing, the most important commandment? He said, number one, love God with all that we are. Serve Him, surrender to Him. Second, love people. Love people well. And it goes a little bit deeper. Share the gospel with them. Matthew 28, bring the gospel into conversations. And just remember that God loves the people that you're dealing with. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to be looking outside of yourself for how you might help someone in a time of need. And be open to what God is doing. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, everybody, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.